RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! We have a very, very, very busy show today, Frank.
What are we going to be talking about, Tracy?
There's three main topics I'd like to explore today on the podcast. Number one, the OSHA ruling that came out yesterday, or the OSHA guidance, I should say, that came out yesterday from the Biden administration. Number two, the court case, Church versus Biden, that's been ongoing. Number three, the Danchenko indictment, and some other generic things that have crossed across my desk, like some vaccine injury stuff, some take a stand stuff, some stuff that's going on around the country that has been given to me under kind of, you know, some please keep this private, but you can say this, this, and this means. And
Oh, I was wondering. I was hoping that we were talking about the Danchenko thing.
Yes.
So,
because I have a well, first of all, I want to start with a clip because I think it'll just make the show go so much better. It's James Carville. You know who he is, right?
Yeah, very weird looking.
He's a Democrat operative. We're ready to go.
So this is the first the James Carville clip.
Mm-hmm.
Your party. What went wrong?
What went wrong is just stupid wokeness. All right, don't just look at Virginia and New Jersey. Look at Long Island. Look at Buffalo. Look at Minneapolis. Even look at Seattle, Washington. I mean, just defund the police. Lunacy to take Abraham Lincoln's name off of schools. I mean, that people see that, and it's just really have a suppressive effect all across the country. The Democrats. Some of these people need to go to a woke detox center or something. I mean, that they're expressing a language that people just don't use. And there's a backlash and a frustration at that.
Yeah, well, what he doesn't, well, I guess what he's not willing to acknowledge is that this has happened before. And it's not a contemporary phenomenon. This is Bolshevism. And it doesn't stop here. It goes far beyond that. People lined up against basement walls and shot to death. So I hope that they start taking this a little bit more seriously. This second clip as well?
Yes, please.
Okay.
We got to stop. We got to get off of this. These people have got to understand they're not popular around the country. People don't like them. And they're voting because that's the only way that they can express themselves and how much they disagree with this. And again, I go back and it's not just Virginia and New Jersey. It's literally everywhere up to and including Seattle. And there's a real lesson here, and it can be corrected, but they got these people have to understand, you're not popular. People don't ride in a car with you. They don't ride next to you in the subway. You're annoying people, and they got to understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that, you know.
That's the least of it. I too bad that missive did not get to the big networks and people like Nicole Wallace, who have done nothing but screech about racism. Like, hey, that's all these people have.
It's pretty
hilarious.
Crazy. It's pretty crazy.
It really is.
Yeah. I can't get over it. Speaking of which, before we go on, here is Winsome Sears talking about Democrats.
The Democrat run cities, the Democrat ran counties, states. They're losing. The neighborhoods are the worst. The schools are the worst. Everything. It's the worst. And so they move from Democrat-led states, come to Republican-led states, and they ruin it.
Yep. That's pretty much it. Thank you very much, Virginia Lieutenant Governor.
We're not ruining it. We're making it better. You just don't know what's good for you. You're trapped in an old world thinking white normalcy girl, new words, new terms.
So moving on from that madness, it was just a series of huge wins yesterday, in my opinion. It was a great day yesterday. Just a great day. So moving on from that, let's talk about Spygate for a minute, something we haven't talked about on this show in a very, very long time, but used to dedicate almost every show to.
I know.
Right? So Igor Danchenko was indicted by John Durham yesterday Igor Danchenko was who was revealed to be the primary source for Christopher Steele's dossier.
Yeah, according to CNN, it was a source.
Right.
Not the source.
Right. Meanwhile, the indictment, all of it, you could just break it down line by line, and every single thing that's in the Steele dossier was given to them by this guy who invented it all, who happened to be working with, of course, the Clinton campaign at a high level. And, you know, on a surface level, what this indictment shows, Frank, is that legitimately all four FISA warrants were based on lies about absolutely nothing. The other thing that it demonstrates to me, and this is a very unpopular opinion right now, and it's not typically one that I would give, but just reading through this indictment, which I did this morning in full, I'm reading that the FBI is taking a pass, Frank. The FBI is taking a pass. They're saying that Danchenko's lies were so material that they caused the FBI to not be able to know that the source, the dossier, was based on nothing. So if they couldn't
correct me if I'm wrong. Is the FBI taking a stance that the lies and the misinformation that was coming from Danchenko were so bad that it fooled the FBI? There's no way the FBI could even know it was false?
No, they're saying
I don't understand what I'm saying.
No. The indictment from Durham is basically saying that the lies that Danchenko told to the FBI in 2017 when he was interviewed by them were material enough that they stopped the FBI from investigatory tactics they would have taken to find out that the dossier was not real, which then in turn led them to not be able to pursue those avenues, which led them to getting the FISA warrant. Do you see what I'm saying?
Kind of.
He's basically saying Danchenko lied and we had no way of knowing that he was lying, FBI says. The FBI says we didn't know that Danchenko was lying. And because he lied to us about this, this, and this, we didn't pursue other avenues of investigation that would have led us to the conclusion that the dossier was fake.
See, this is ridiculous. And this is also from the same FBI. Wasn't there the close to 30?
No, the 30 FBI DOJ? Is not saying that. Durham is saying it.
About the FBI.
Yes.
Right.
So okay. That's important. Because to me, what this means is if the FBI is getting this pass, oh, we didn't know because Danchenko, we couldn't know because he lied to us about this, this, and this. And so because of that, we didn't do what we'd normally do because we didn't know to look. Like, it's almost like your daughter coming in and saying, you know, you're seeing a mess all over the floor and your daughter says, no, I didn't see who did this. Meanwhile, it was her.
Yeah.
And there's security footage in the room or something, but your daughter's swearing to you that she didn't do it. So you don't look at the security camera or you don't go and ask another witness a question, or you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you now.
So that to me means that Comey, Page, Strzok, McCabe, this is, in my opinion, a pass on them on this aspect of things. Now, Jonathan Turley and some other, you know, intrepid investigators out there who've been on this story just as long as me don't agree. They think that this means that Durham is rolling up to bigger. And to be honest, he has been rolling up to bigger. He started off with Klein Smith, who barely got anything. He got a slap on the wrist. He's got his bar. He's can practice law again, right? Then they went to Sussman, who was bigger on the totem pole, but not a major player really, in my opinion, in Spygate. He was bigger on the totem pole. He lied about things. Whoop-dee-doo. But he's connected to Ilias, which is, you know, he's not looking very confident, Mark Ilias. And if you remember, Perkins Coie and Ilias had a big split a few months back. Ilias started his own.
Him working for McAuliffe, he wasn't working on behalf of Perkins Coie?
No.
Okay. No. I didn't know about the split, but I know about the past association.
Yep, they split. And he was one of their top guys on the DNC side. So they telling him, get the F out, start your own thing. That's a big deal. So then they went up to Sussman. And now Danchenko, who is a very key figure in the whole Spygate thing, right? Huge figure. And the indictment just basically goes on to say, here are the five times that Danchenko lied to the FBI that were material enough for them to have problems in their investigation. And they arrested him. And there's supposed to be a hearing today. And so everybody set out to try and figure out who some of the people being referenced in here were. One of them was Sergey Milian, who supposedly had a phone call with Danchenko that served as the basis for why he was targeted the entire time. He never had that phone call. That's finally, you know, he's been saying that for years and years and years. But now it's finally out there in the public record. These are all what you would call peripheral figures, but were key figures to the story.
Yeah.
Then they identified, you know, there are a few other people in there, obviously Christopher Steele. And then there was PR Executive One. Now, PR Executive One was in close communication with Danchenko through the entire shebang. Worked closely with the Clinton campaign, was a PR person, had, you know, represented some firms in Russia, et cetera, so on and so forth, energy stuff. And yesterday, apparently, somebody identified this PR Executive One as Chuck Dolan. He was a former campaign, you know, he was close to the campaign in 2008, the Clinton campaign. But I had never heard this name before in the Spygate debacle, ever. And so, right. So I started scratching my head. And now apparently Dolan's attorney has come out and said, yes, he's PR Executive One. I'm going to do something really crazy, Frank, and it might come back to bite me in the ass. I don't know. I'm going to say they're lying. They're lying. It is not
in what way?
Chuck Dolan as PR Executive One. I'm going to say it's Adam Waldman.
Jeez, I'm forgetting all these names. You know, this is crazy. I said it last night because I was hoping when I was on my show, I was hoping that we would do this stuff this morning because obviously it's something that's it's becoming relevant again. There's some moving and shaking going on and just everybody's trying to ascertain whether or not this is going to be some significant things that we're starting from the ground floor up. There are a lot of people who are disillusioned. But the one thing, no matter what, where we go is that this is almost like having to go back and reread the Game of Thrones novels.
Yes.
There are 10,000 characters. There are 10,000 alliances and backstabbings. I cannot believe how long ago 2017 seems.
It's truly. And 2018 and even 2019, Frank. I mean,
But 17 and 18 were like a blur when it comes to this.
So here's who Adam Waldman is. And you'll remember as soon as I start talking about him. Adam Waldman was the one who had signal messages between the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, James Comey. He represented Christopher Steele. He represented Deripaska. He represented Julian Assange. He was the man who was trying to negotiate with Comey to not have Vault 7 released on behalf of Assange. You remember now?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Yes.
He had communications with Bruce Ohr at a high level. He was a PR guy. He actually repped Hollywood celebrities. He was also an attorney and he was a lobbyist for Deripaska, who happened to be involved with a big energy company in Russia. Here's the deal. I do not believe for a second that this PR Executive One is Dolan. And here's why. There is a small snippet in this indictment at the end. It says approximately 7 months later, on or about January 13th, 2017, PR Executive One replied to an email sent by a U.S.-based person discussing a recent news article regarding the company reports, meaning the dossier, including the allegations concerning Business One. In the email, PR Executive One again demonstrated his knowledge of Danchenko's relationship with Christopher Steele and the Steele dossier. Here's what he says in the email. Ready? I've been interviewed by the Washington Post and the London Times 3 times over the last 2 days over the Steele dossier on Trump. And I know the Russian agent who made the report. He used to work for me. My client in Country One, Business One, has been accused of being the party that organized the hacking.
Okay.
Dolan did not represent Julian Assange. Waldman did.
So then there you go.
I don't know why they're trying to hide this fact. There are numerous reasons. I'm going to put an article in the show notes that I want everyone to read from way back in the day where I recapped all of this. I recapped Waldman's ties to Bruce Ohr. I recapped Waldman's ties to Steele, Deripaska, everybody. It's all in there. And I'm telling you, I'm going out on a limb here. Everybody's like, no, his lawyer confirmed it. I don't care. I don't care that his lawyer confirmed it, Dolan's lawyer. I think that this is Waldman. I'm putting my fist down. I spent 4 years on this story. I will be damned if this isn't Adam Waldman. Damned.
Well, I mean, if we're just going to talk about character profiles alone, it doesn't fit the profile of the first guy. And it fits this one.
Yeah.
And we never heard it. And what was the first guy again? What's his name?
Chuck Dolan.
Never heard in 4 years, haven't heard this guy's name until now.
No.
And he's just slipping right into the role that we know that Waldman had.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. You know, we talk about, everybody's talking about low-hanging fruit. You got to start off low, got to go up high. I mean, there's so much low-hanging fruit. There's so much because the amount of low-hanging fruit that there is really is the basis to show how huge the conspiracy was. I mean, you've got dozens of DOJ lawyers that were complicit in wiping all those federal cell phones. Kleinsmith was really, I can't believe that it was just him. But so there's just so much. I think that's what is also getting people thinking, well, I guess it's something. But at the same time, if you wanted to clean up the little minions, I mean, there's so many minions.
Look, Danchenko is not a little fish in all of this. What this indictment did yesterday, Frank, was say, by the way, guys, yeah, this entire thing was completely effing false. Like we knew, but literally false. Everything that they said, up to and including, obviously, the pee-pee tape that James Comey used to get CNN to taint the incoming president of the United States, was all fake. They even, you know, deconstructed how Danchenko knew about the Moscow hotel at all. He had gone there for a visit, talked to the manager, had a tour of the presidential suite enough that he could recall that later to incorporate into his lie. That the PP dossier part of this, while the most absurd, was the thing that they used to take down in the public eye, in the media, Comey and Brennan and the rest of them leaking about this to salacious and unverified. Don't you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think Christopher Steele is absolutely going to go. I don't know what's going to happen to the people above, right? What the McCabes, the Strucks, the Comeys. It's not looking good in my opinion. And I would be shocked if we had one of them trotted out under indictment, but I wouldn't mark it completely off. And there's a lot of people who agree with me on that right now. I see them giving a pass to the FBI, Frank. I just see it. I do.
Well, that sucks.
I wish I didn't. You know me. I'm like the eternal optimist on this story. I always have been. And, you know, Brian Cates has been following it and swearing up and down for years that this stuff was going to happen. He's in his glory right now because he knew that in his brain that Durham was going to do something. He knew it. Durham was going to arrest people. Durham was going to roll it up. Durham was the guy that was going to come in on his white horse. I'm not so optimistic.
Well, if it took this long to get to where we are right now, then, I mean, unless there's some major acceleration, then we're only going to be up to mid-tier criminals by the end of the Biden administration.
Well, so, unless they start rolling now. I mean, once they've got Danchenko, there's not much they can hide anymore from people. You see what I mean? Like, now that Danchenko has been publicly indicted, if they didn't, in the public sphere, they can't hide things from people anymore about what they're doing in their investigation. It's very clear. So that's why you're starting to see all these people trot out on media now.
Shit. Tracy, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so, yeah. So that was too quiet of a silence. That's usually a Skype problem. Skype bailout.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm still here.
Well, I'm glad I'm so happy that we did this because I was wondering what the hell the parameters for it all were.
It's a big deal for me to put my fist down and say it's not a man, Chuck Dolan, who is being confirmed by his own attorney to be a character in this indictment. All intents and purposes, that's a stupid thing for anybody to do. You know, you have someone's lawyer standing there saying it's this guy. It's him. Yeah, you got it. We're not going to comment anymore because it's the middle of an investigation. You got us. There's a lot to protect by keeping Waldman's name out of this. A lot. Or Dan Jones, Feinstein, Warner, Steele, everybody that he worked with, Comey. I mean, Waldman is a major figure in all this. And a lot of people don't even really know him. And so now I'm stuck, Frank, on Telegram, not able to talk to all the usual cast of characters I would have worked with in the past on Twitter. And they And they all had.
It's the worst part.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really was the worst part, because going on Twitter during those years was really just, you sit back and just reading threads all day and people, detracting, subtracting, and adding to each other, or, you know, trying to pull each other back from certain threads, certain ledges and all that stuff. It was really awesome just to see everybody playing off of each other. And even the conflicts that popped up along the way, too, because it was just good to see people going at it. Whereas now, I don't know. I like it better when people are grading against someone else who is trying to really get to the crux of something than people being left alone in their own little channels with nobody to pull them back.
I sent a message out, somebody get this to Hans and Fool Nelson and, you know, those guys who stayed on Twitter after the Great Purge. Let them know Tracy is saying that she thinks that this is Waldman and not Jones. And, you know, look, I put this away for a long time, Frank. So for me, like, there are certain things that I remember from this. Like most, I remember more details about this story than I think most people do. There are still things that I find myself shady on that I don't quite recall 100% because I'm not recalling them every day. But I spent 3.5-4 years of my life on this story every single day, every day. And so for me, reading through that indictment, it was like ding, 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 just like ping pong balls going off in my head.
Right.
You know, you read something every day. You focus on it every day. You research every single day. You know when you see something that just doesn't make sense. And in my opinion, humbly, it's not Dolan.
It's not Dolan.
And I better be getting that right, that it's Dolan, that everybody's saying it's Dolan. And because I got confused and I was saying Jones for a while for some reason, because Dolan is a foreign name to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Foreign in this respect.
Right.
Yeah.
Not in MSG in Madison Square Garden and Cablevision respect, you know,
but it's. Man, oh, man, I just can't believe that we were talking about some Russia stuff again.
Yeah. Kind of invigorating, to be honest, because it really does need to be unwound. I mean, this was the beginning. And then, oh, we would be absolutely remiss, Frank, if we didn't bring up Fiona Hill in all of this.
Yes.
Fiona Hill is again, cast of characters in the, she's been involved in the coup attempts from the beginning.
The impeachment, I hate that granite face.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, God, what a horrible woman.
Christopher Steele, Fiona Hill. You know, anything that had to do, like the other thing that I think is being whitewashed quickly is they touch on Manafort and getting rid of Manafort and all of that. But the Ukraine story breaking here in the midst of the campaign was a catalyst for everything that came afterwards. The Manafort Ukraine issues were huge. And again, Durham tends, he talks about them pretty lengthily in the indictment, but tends to float past them without mentioning what's her name? Chalupa, Alexandra Chalupa, who is the one who is from the DNC, who was manufacturing all the rumors about the ledger with Manafort. You guys remember this, I hope. I mean, I might need to do a freaking Spygate refresher for me and everyone out there.
I know.
But.
I know. Has there been a definitive book written yet?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's been two that I think are good. Obviously, Lee Smith's The Plot Against the President, that gets into detail about Million, and he gets into detail about what's his name? Why am I blanking out? Akeem Alptekin. You know, some of the more like Kislyak, some of the more like unknown-ish people. So he's very detailed about that. The second book he had too, the one we had him on about, and then Dan Bongino, his books. So yeah.
Wow. Well, we'll see. So, what do you think as far as timetables go? What do you think comes next, and what kind of a pace are all these stories going to be developing at now? I mean, obviously nobody knows, but if you were going to put some money down, what do you think?
I would say. we'll get more in the hearing, I guess, maybe a little more in the hearing, and we'll have some more media to watch to see how these people position themselves in the media. And then we'll just wait for Durham to act again. I don't know. I don't have a timetable.
What kind of a timetable does he have? Does he have an open and is there any deadline for him? How much more does he have resources for? Money, a team?
Well, they can't down a special counsel.
Okay, so it goes as long as he believes it needs to go.
Yeah, and, you know, similarly, like, there are statute of limitation issues that he's got to face. Like, one of them was with Sussman. There was a statute of limitations on Sussman that he had to act on before it expired. I don't know what crimes he's looking at this point. Right now, it's been basically what we've seen from the Mueller investigation, lying to investigators. So there's not been any real conspiracy charge or, you know, any, you know, insurrection charge or sedition or anything like that. So.
But hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon.
We're certainly not getting any insurrection charges from the insurrectionists that are still locked up in the Capitol.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff that came out yesterday about the jail. They went and they looked at the jail and the wardens tried to kick the U.S. Marshals out. And apparently I didn't get to look at guys. You have to forgive. I was busy yesterday. So this happened late. Apparently Gates and Gohmert and Marjorie Taylor Greene were at the prison talking with the inmates. They were let in. But there were 400 prisoners transferred from one of the jails in D.C. to Pennsylvania because of the conditions there. What I'm hearing now, and I can't confirm because I haven't been able to look at it, is that none of the J6 prisoners were included in that, except one who had cancer.
Yeah, I've heard some really horrible things about beatings and everything else.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. So we're following that also. So, segueing from there, I did a couple of voice note recordings last night late, Frank, just because I got a text message from a very dear friend of mine who's probably listening right now, who I just want to say I love you and keep strong too. And I can't be very detailed about any of this, but there's a certain group that is affiliated with the government that has a lot of people that are refusing to get the vaccine. And it's going to cause problems. And they're getting a little bit antsy because, you know, you've got people even in private companies with pensions, with, you know, lifelong savings, with lifelong careers that they're being forced to choose now. Either you get the shot or you walk away from this forever. But I'm going to say not so fast. First of all, again, you agree with me on this. I think, Frank, you can add to it, please. After I say this, you guys are the soldiers on the battlefield right now in the biggest fight that America's ever seen on its own soil that doesn't involve a weapon.
Yep. 100%. This is the most pivotal war in our existence. It's going to continue to reverberate throughout the planet.
This is it. This is it. This is our stand. This is the stand for your, literally the root of your freedom. Here, listen to, Kennedy Jr. here. Listen to this.
My father told me when I was a child, people in authority lie. And we all, if we are going to continue to live in a democracy, we need to understand that people in authority lie. People in authority will abuse every power that we relinquish to them. And right now, we are giving them the power to micromanage every bit of our lives 24 hours a day. They're going to know where we are. They're going to know the money that we spend. They're going to have access to our children. They're going to have the right to compel unwanted medical interventions on us. We, you know, the Nazis did that in the camps in World War II. They tested vaccines on gypsies and Jews. And the world was so horrified after the war, we signed the Nuremberg Charter. And we all pledged when we do that, we would never again impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. And yet in 2 years, all of that conviction has suddenly disappeared. And people are walking around in masks where the science has not been explained to them. They are They are doing what they're told. They are orchestrating, these government agencies are orchestrating obedience. It is not democratic. It's not the product of democracy. It's the product of a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity agenda that will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a dystopian nightmare where the apocalyptic forces of ignorance and greed will be running our lives and ruining our children and destroying all the dreams and dignity that we hope to give to our children.
Can't disagree with a word he just said.
No, no, you can't.
This is our stand. And I will tell you, the tide is turning, Frank. And so I did these voice notes and I said, stay strong out there. I'm not in that position. It's really easy for me to sit here and tell you, oh, just don't get it. Walk away. Walk away from your job. Walk away. It'll be fine. I've said this before. You can figure it out. But I'm not in your position. I don't have to get this shot. I work for myself. You do. You're in a position where you have to make this choice. And I beg of you, I look at these people who are in these situations and I feel nothing but love, admiration, and awe because they are doing what they're doing will affect everyone who comes after them. Everyone. It's that serious.
It's very serious. And it is that simple. Even if it's difficult, if it's difficult to want to go through the choice is simple. I think that there's no future. We are in the middle of a movie right now.
Yes.
And we're playing a role and you have to wonder, is this going to be, are the good guys going to win, or is the rest of the movie just about how the bad guys continue to rape the good guys? What the hell kind of movie is that?
Well, here we are one step closer to the good guys winning, Frank, because I can't believe how overlooked this has been. But the OSHA regulations came out, the OSHA guidance for how companies with 100 private sector companies with 100 employees or more are to handle mandating the COVID vaccine. And the answer is they cannot be forced to mandate this vaccine. The reason why I'm saying that is because very clearly, now prefacing, I don't agree with this either, but very clearly, OSHA says, we really need vaccination. Everybody should be vaccinated. But if you don't want to do that, you can have a weekly testing and masking option.
Yeah. And the masks are now very clearly being, they are very clearly being defined as really just a shaming mechanism. It's really in that I was reading the OSHA guidelines updates or whatever the hell it is. And it's clear now that the masks are really just a tool to ostracize people.
And that's fine. And if you're bold enough to say I'm not getting this for whatever reason or no reason at all, for God's sakes, then be bold enough to wear a damn mask just to prove a point. Put it on your face for, you know, an hour. Keep it below your nose when no one's around. You know, like, that's not the point here. The point is that, Frank, they can't make people get a shot in their arm. They can't do it. They don't have the authority. They don't have the legal grounds. They know the second that they did that without an option, it would be over for them. It's a win. Take it.
But what about some of my friends? Let's say a friend of mine who works for Con Edison for 16 years, and it's not OSHA that is telling them that they have a very limited window of time to make a choice between employment and unemployment. What about people like that?
Well,
it's not enough to say, well, OSHA doesn't have this, the president doesn't have the authority, when the companies themselves, the employers themselves, are telling people flat out, this is the way of the world now.
I talked to an attorney about this yesterday.
Okay.
A few different things. Number one, 99% of these companies were basing the decision to implement this and have showed people in email saying as such on the executive order from Joe Biden that drove this guidance. In situations where that was referenced in the correspondence to them, they have standing now to pull this and say, well, You've been waiting for this OSHA guidance. You should have been waiting for it. You acted preemptively at this point. But here they're saying that if I don't want to get this vaccine for whatever reason or no reason at all, that I can submit and pay for weekly testing and wear a mask and not have to get it. What about the people that lost their jobs already, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many lawsuits there are going to be for wrongful termination? Holy.
Oh, man, I know. I hope that it just, oh.
So like, I understand that, you know, there's the argument out there. This mandatory testing thing is not, I agree. It's intrusive and it shouldn't be necessary and it's ridiculous. My only point being is they had to put something else in there. In these guidelines, Frank, they admit that people who are vaccinated spread the virus in the guidelines.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, they can't even show a give us a real clear advantage of even taking the shot in any of these mandates.
No,
it's just here is the reality of it, where you are protected, you aren't protected. And then they don't even go into the risks that are assumed by going and taking the shot itself. But it always just comes down to, are you going? But then again, what's her name? Some assistant secretary of something at the White House yesterday was very blatant and very open about what these mandates are about. And she said it twice now. It's about compliance.
Well,
it's about compliance. That's all it is. There's no, obviously there's nothing scientific about it. We've made that very clear a long time ago.
There are people who are not complying. And if you are one of those people and you're facing down some really scary times right now, I implore you to stay strong. Please, please don't give up and give in. I can't tell you how many, like I was thinking about this yesterday, even with the Gardasil vaccine, which I followed very closely back in the day when it first was released. I was called a crazy conspiracy theorist, Frank. I was a lunatic for saying that there were adverse effects related to Gardasil. I'll never forget it because I was screaming at on the rooftops like, guys, please look at this. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer. All you crazy tree-hugging lunatics, like whatever. Anyway, there were never this many stories. I shudder at how many people are walking around vaccine injured right now in the short term that we have no idea about. There are different victims everywhere. That's the thing. Like, yep. Ron Johnson's hearing, different victims than what you read affidavits in this lawsuit, that lawsuit, this lawsuit. They're all different people who know dozens and dozens of people personally who are also in the same situation. And yeah, there are people out there that got it and haven't had anything happen that they know of. You know, that weird tumor on your back that your doctor said is very rare that just showed up. You got the vaccine 8 months ago and you're like, oh, couldn't have been the vaccine. You have no idea. The explosion in cancer. Dr. Cole was talking about this on a workshop that I was on last night. The explosion in manageable cancers that are, you know, more frequently and more commonly seen, but are being seen in numbers that are astronomical right now.
Just within the first year?
Yes.
Because, of course, you know, they said the things like cancer, those are the things that we weren't even going to know too much about for a few years to come.
Well, they're wrong.
Like there was going to be a few categories of injuries and chronic illnesses that may arise within the first 6 to 8 months to a year, but it was everything down the line that was going to be, in particular, really scary. But then again, we know now because hospitals all over the world that weren't really seeing that much action during the peak of the declared pandemic are now packed to the brim with people who have blood clots and who have heart inflammation and a number of other things going wrong. And this is going to be in itself a little bit of the smokescreen for them, because all of the symptoms are going to be so all over the place.
I have a letter here from Siri, attorney Siri, sent to Becerra, Walensky and Woodcock, director of the COVID-19 Vaccine Task Force, the secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the interim commissioner and director of the Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research at the FDA. And it's talking about vaccine injury. It's 42 pages long. There's affidavits attached here. All of the affidavits are of injured doctors, Frank, doctors who have gotten the shot that have been vaccine harmed, doctors, they're being discarded. They're not going to be able to get away. It's too many people. It's everywhere.
Well, this is the big rush there too. They're trying to get rid of that control group because things are happening so quickly now.
Yes. And you know, so now I was complaining, McMaster said that he can't really interfere in private companies. My governor, McMaster, Henry McMaster, he can't really interfere in private companies. And I'm like, what the F? Could you clone yourself after DeSantis, please? And just stop this nonsense. We're in South Carolina. I'm not in like, you know, Virginia or New York or even Arizona, for goodness sakes, who's doing a better job. I'm in South Carolina. So finally yesterday, he came out once this guidance was issued. I think he was just waiting for it. But again, nobody's talking about the fact that they can't make you do this. They have to give you an option. It's so important. Here he is.
I've been stunned at the overreach of the Biden administration. What will we do? I will issue an executive order barring any South Carolina cabinet agency from issuing or enforcing any vaccine mandate. Number two, I'll require all state agencies, including the 19 cabinet agencies, to report to me any inquiry or request for vaccination from the federal government. That is allowed by law. Both of those things are allowed by law. Now, we are one of 8 states who are in a lawsuit already against the federal government for its unlawful orders against federal contractors, and it extends beyond them to subcontractors and others in contact with subcontractors. We have filed a lawsuit led by the state of Georgia, joined by 6 other states. There may be others joining later. That's what we're doing with the federal mandate on the federal agencies and the federal employees. But there's another arena, and that is the one involving the Occupational Safety and Health Act. Today, the Biden administration, through the OSHA administration, published regulations requiring most businesses in the country, except the smaller ones, to vaccinate their employees or seek financial punishment. It is unbelievable that the federal government would issue such an unlawful order. It is questionable whether the Congress could even do that, but certainly it cannot be done by executive order or through a federal agency, least of all the Occupational Safety and Health Act. It is difficult to believe that we are seeing what we are seeing. The business judgment is being overwhelmed and ignored. The rights of the people, perhaps civil rights, are being ignored. And the parents' interest in their own children in schools that they pay for with tax money are being trampled, subjected to criminal investigation.
He goes on for another second or so, but it's about damn time. It's about damn time. Like, I'm like seriously worried that they're going to start running into my kids' schools with needles and asking them if they want the shot.
I believe that they will eventually.
I had to tell my son, if that happens, run out of there screaming at the top of your lungs and I will find you.
You know, the other thing about this all is that over the course of 2020, so many millions of people were encouraged not to work and to go on the government dole and never go back to work, and have been disconnected from work ethic and every kind of, you know, feeling of independence that is associated with going to work. So you already have this huge problem with a work shortage where nobody can find anybody to fill positions in any kind of business, especially around here. And now you're going after the only people who never stopped working.
I know. And you know, the craziest thing, they admit in here without saying it in these words, they admit the reason why it's only targeted at companies 100 employees and up, Frank, is because they can stand to lose 20 to 30% of their workforce and not go out of business. You see? Any 50-person company requiring this lost 20, 30 employees, they'd be finished. The bigger companies can absorb the stress. But I think in New York City, the sanitation workers and the police and the fire unions came to some sort of an arrangement with idiot de Blasio, who's now running for governor, Frank.
Oh, I know. I saw. I'm sure he's going to be very successful.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
So that happened yesterday. Huge win. Huge win. The decision for the emergency injunction in the Church versus Biden case will likely come today or Monday. If there is an emergency injunction, then the federal government, why is it that the OSHA guidelines are not good enough for federal contractors and federal employees? Why are they good enough for private sector and not good enough for the government? Can you answer that?
I don't know. I don't know. Is there answer to anything anymore? But the exemptions all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to watch to see where the exemptions are, and pretty much our exemptions are written in such tortured language that, like as you pointed out not too long ago, that there is really nothing that is holding people to doing this. There is no way that they can enforce something like this, but it's written in such a way where you're not sure if that's the case, and there are so many willing participants in enforcing this in the private sector. And it seems like every judge is on the take now. So it's just a big illusion. And they seem to be safeguarding their own health while everybody else takes chances with theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what I think that's good for today, Frank. I don't know that there's more to go into. I mean, I have more if we wanted to talk about more, but I don't want to start something this late. Let me see if I had a clip that I wanted to play real quick. But, you know, yesterday, what's her name? Wore a Lexico Brandon dress to a Mar-a-Lago event. Lauren Boebert. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Good.
This is what I wanted to touch on.
I saw Donald Trump having a nice chuckle at the sound of a Lexico Brandon chant at the World Series.
Yes. He enjoyed it very much.
That was funny, too.
Two quick moments from the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, which is not going well for the prosecution at all. Kyle Rittenhouse is obviously on trial right now for murder. Ridiculous. Here's two clips. This is two witnesses being interviewed by the prosecution or questioned by the prosecution trying to convict Rittenhouse of murder. Here we go.
I usually tell people I'm going to seal something when I seal it.
Oh, just to let you know, this is taken from a live stream going on with people on the side who are also commenting over the attorney. So just try and work that out somehow. I don't know.
Gotcha.
You don't know, as you sit here today, what Mr. Rosenbaum was thinking, do you?
Yeah, you mean at the time of the shooting?
Yes. Or at any point in his life. I mean, you have no idea what Mr. Rosenbaum was ever thinking.
Rosenbaum was the one he shot.
Do you? I would say I'm a dick witness. Please call me as a witness.
I never exchanged words with him. That's what your question is.
So your interpretation of what he was trying to do or what he was intending to do or anything along those lines is complete guesswork, isn't it?
Well, he said, fuck you, and then he reached for the weapon.
So they're basically, the prosecution is trying to get this person there who they're questioning to admit that they don't really have any idea what the child molester was thinking at the time of the shooting. But this witness just said, well, he said F you and he grabbed for his weapon. So yeah, I kind of have an idea of what he was thinking. Just not good. Here's another quick one.
You got in between him and Dustin Collette.
This is Joseph. This is an eyewitness testifying that Joseph Rosenbaum, this is the child molester, made a death threat towards him and Kyle the night that they were shot.
Him and Dustin Collette. Was the defendant present for that?
It immediately preceded him threatening me and Kyle Rittenhouse.
So was the defendant present for that?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Collette had stopped him from starting something on fire. There's a video of it. And Dustin Collette said something to the effect of fuck around and find out. And I stepped in and told everybody, chill out, calm down, stop doing that. I turned and had an exchange with one of the protesters. And I kind of explained to that protester, hey, you know, I get it, get what you're trying to do, but like not this. And when I turned around, Rosenbaum was right there in front of my face, yelling and screaming. And I said, dude, back up. Just chill. I don't know what your problem is. And he goes, you know what? If I catch any of you guys alone tonight, I'm going to fucking kill you.
And he said that to you?
Correct.
Did he say that to the defendant as well?
The defendant was there. So, yes.
That's not the kind of thing a prosecutor wants to hear.
Yeah.
It's not.
Not at all.
And this judge is not having it in terms of the prosecution. It goes back to the Carville clip from earlier. This judge knows that his entire town burned to the ground because of these people that the prosecution were trying to say were basically peaceful protesters.
I know. I know. Not only that, but this is the same town. This is the same town where, like, at night when everybody was boarding up their businesses, some people were having to board up board up buildings and then spray paint on top of them. Children live up here.
Yeah.
Because they're going around burning shit down. And the fact that they still, some people are classifying them as protesters, it's just incredible. It really is incredible.
It's something else. This is going to be something to watch, so we can follow. But anyway, that's the Friday show. Super busy. Thanks for riding along, Frank. I know I did a lot of talking today, so.
Oh, no. Hey, listen, I wanted to learn a lot today, so I'm glad that we did this.
Yeah, and we'll be back on Monday. You have been listening to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.